Okay, we're beginning here in the middle of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Amata Mayim, Shio Veret Bechatzer. You have a water channel that is going through a chatzer. A water channel is called an Amata Mayim because it's an Amah by Amah. It was an Amah wide by an Amah deep, and that was the standard water channel that they made in their day, and that's why it was called Amata Mayim. So here you have a water channel that's bringing water through the chatzer. Ein Memalin Hemenu B'Shabbat. One may not fill from this water on Shabbat. The water inside of the Amata Mayim is considered to be a Carmelit. Assuming that you have the requisite dimensions for a Carmelit, which are 4 by 4 Tfachim and 10 Tfachim deep, which is interesting in and of itself, since this is an Amata Mayim, which an Ama by Ama would be less than 10 Tfachim deep. But assuming that it is 10 Tfachim deep here, and it is a Carmelit. Because it is a Carmelit, you can't draw from it into the Reshut Echid, which is your Chatzer. The only way to get over that problem is, Elim Kena Sula Mechitza Gvoa Yut Tfachim Biknisa Ubitzia. Unless you make for it barriers, michitzot, in the entering side of the Amata Mayim and the exiting side of the Amata Mayim through the Chatzer. This water channel that passes through the Chatzer enters from outside the Chatzer and exits to outside of the Chatzer. At those points, at the entry and the exit, you have to put up a mechitza. Now that mechitza, as Rashi points out, has to be placed inside of the channel itself. It's not enough the mechitza is placed on top of it. Even though we said before that a mechitza tluya works, a suspended mechitza works when it comes to water, that's only when it's clear that the suspended mechitza is being made specifically for the water. Over here, where it wouldn't be clear if you ran the mechitza on top of the Amata Mayim, then we do not allow that. So you must have the mechitza inside the banks of the water channel in order to be matirit. So if you have the mechitza in the beginning and the end, it's as if now it becomes a reshut hayachid, and you can draw from that water inside of the chatzer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kotel Shal Gaba Tidon Mishom Mechitza. Rabbi Yehuda here says the same thing said in the previous Mishnah, which is, if you have a wall of the chatzer that crosses over the channel, and the channel passes under the wall of chatzer should suffice to be the wall that also creates the mechitza for the mayim. It's not made specifically for the water, but Rabbi Yehuda believes you don't need that. As long as there are mechitza tluya, as long as you have a suspended mechitza, we say good achit. We say that it drops down, and it's as if the mechitza extends downward into the water. Amar Yehuda maseh ba'amah shel avel. There was a case where the water channel in a place called Avel, shayu memalim memenu al pi zakenim b'shabbat. They were filling water from that water channel based on the zakenim on Shabbat. And the assumption being that they used it in a place where there weren't walls inside of the embankments of the water channel, but rather on top, like Rabbi Yehuda. Amru lo, the Chachamim responded to him and said, you can't bring a proof from there. Yipneu shaliyah bashi'ur. The reason there that they didn't worry about it is because they didn't have the requisite shur to make it into a Carmelit. Carmelit needs a minimum of, as we said before, 4x4 tvachim and 10 tvachim deep. If it doesn't meet that minimum, then it's not a Carmelit, it becomes a Makom Ptur. And a Makom Ptur here is Batel to whatever is around it. So when it's in the Reshut HaRabim, it's Batel to Reshut HaRabim. When it's inside of the Reshut HaYachid, it's Batel to Reshut HaYachid, and it's the equivalent of drawing water from Reshut HaYachid into Reshut HaYachid. And that's why it was permissible to draw from the water channel into the Chatzer. Nothing to do with the fact that the walls of the Chatzer went on top of the Amata Mayim, but because the Amata Mayim was not a Carmelit and did not require any Tikkun in order to draw from it. Tarabanan, Asula b'knisa, v'lo asula b'yitzia. If they made a barrier mechitza inside of the water channel where it entered into the chatzer, but not where it exited the chatzer, sula b'yitzia, v'lo asula b'knisa, or the opposite way around, they made it where it exited the chatzer, but not where it entered, ein me'malin hemenu b'shabbat. You cannot fill from that amadamayim on Shabbat, ela im gen asula mechitza, yutvachim b'yitzia b'knisa. Similar to what we saw in our Mishnah, you need such a mechitza of Yud Vachim, both when it enters the Chatzer and when it exits the Chatzer, and again has to be submerged in the banks of the water channel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, like he says in our Mishnah, Koto Shagavat, Yidon Mishu Mechitza. The wall of the Chatzer itself should function as the Mechitza, and we should look at it as if it drops down into the water channel, and you don't need a specifically designated Mechitza for the water channel. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Maseba Matamayim Shaita Ba Me'avel Litzipori. There was this case where you had this water channel that came from Avel to Tzipori, so it's a slightly different version than the story in our Mishnah. And people were filling their water from it on Shabbat. And that was with the permission or with the acquiescence of this Kenim, which shows you that they were relying on the Mechitzot that ran on top of the Amata Mayim. Amrulo, they said back to him, the Chachamim, Isham Raya, how could you bring a proof from there? It didn't have the requisite shiurim to make it into a carmelite. It wasn't 10 tefachim deep, or wasn't 4x4 tefachim, and that's why it wasn't considered to be a carmelite. And if it wasn't a carmelite, then we don't worry about them drawing water from the water channel, because it's batel to whatever property is near it, whether it's reshut rabim or reshut yachid. And if it's in the chatzer, it'll be batel to the chatzer, and you can draw the water from it. Tanya yidoch, we have another braito. Amata mayim overet ben achalunot. If you have a water channel that is going between the houses, it's not in the chatzero, but rather between the houses, pachot mi gimel. If it's less than 3 tefachim, mishal shel duli, he can lower down a bucket from the window of his house, umimale, and he can draw the water out of the water channel and bring it back into his house. Gimel, if it's already 3 tefachim, ein mishal shel duli umimale, then he can't drop a bucket down and draw the water back into his house. Shimon Gamliel omer, pachot mi dal ein mishal shel duli umimale. Shimon Gamliel says if it's less than 4 tefachim, then you can drop the bucket down into the channel and bring it back up into the house. Dalit ain't mishalshel. If it already reaches 4 tefachim, ain't mishalshel d'liyum imalei. Can't lower the bucket in and fill the water from there. We have seen this machloke between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel before with regards to lavud. Is lavud 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim? The Gemara will eventually get to that. Ravina will give that answer as to how to explain this braita. But until then, we're going to assume that their machloke is not about lavud, and the Gemara explains why. But maya skina, what's the case here? Ilayim abamata maim gufa. We're talking about the width of the water channel itself. Avaha, what are you going to do with this memra of the Chiyata Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan? Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, as we've seen so many times. He brings a memra from Rabbi Yochanan. Ein karmelit puchoda midalit. There is no such thing as a karmelit that's less than 4 tefachim. So over here you have the Chachamim saying that it's 3 tefachim. And if you say that they're speaking about the width of the water channel, then they have a position here that is less than 4 tefachim, and they're calling it a carmelite. Lema kitane amra l'shmaite. Let us say that that memra of Rav Dimi that he brought in the name of Rabbi Yochanan is really a machloket mtanaim, because here we see a position of the chachamim that even over 3 tefachim is already considered to be a carmelite. Ella, so that can't be the right explanation. They're not arguing about the actual width of the channel. Ella be'agafe. They're talking about the banks on the side. Ula hachlif. And the question is, can you use that as a station to move the bucket into the water down below? If there are less than 3 tefachim, or according to Shimon Gamliel, 4 tefachim between the water channel and the wall or the window, then that area is classified as a makom patur. And a makom patur, we said before, both B'nai Rishut Rabim and B'nai Rishut Yachid can utilize it because it doesn't have any designation. So over here, you can take your bucket, which is coming from Rishut Yachid, put it on top of that bank of the Amata Mayim, which is a Makom Tur, no problem. Then you'll take it from the Makom Tur and lower it into the Amata Mayim, which means it's going from a Makom Tur to a Carmelite. Also not a problem. And the same on the way back. After you've drawn the water, you'll put it up on the bank, and then you'll take it into the house. So you'll do this by passing through a Makom Tur, which will permit you to move from a Rishut Yachid to a Carmelite, because you have that station in between, which is a Makom Tur. And what they're arguing about here is, what is classified as a Makom Tur? Is it 3 tefachim or 4 tefachim? And the Gemara says, Elag ba'feilach leaf, it's on the banks in order to exchange it. V'hakiyat Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Yochan, Makom she'enom bo'o, arba'ar, arba'ar, mutar li'bnei Rishut Yachid, u'l'bnei Rishut Abim, l'katef alav, v'ajle yachlifu. Wait a minute, what are you going to do with this memra of Rav Dimi? He also brought another memra from Yochanan that says that if it's less than 4x4 tefachim, then it's no longer a carmelite, and it is a makom patur. Now, when it is a makom patur, it can be utilized both by the B'nai Rishut Rabim and the B'nai Rishut Yachid, but there's one qualification, that is, you cannot exchange. You can't take something from Rishut Yachid to the makom patur, and then from the makom patur to Rishut Rabim, and vice versa, because we're afraid at some point you're just going to skip over the makom patur, and then it'll be problematic. It says, Hata Mishuyot De'oraita. Over there, the reason we don't allow you to do that is because you're dealing with a Rishut Yachid min Torah and Rishut Rabim min Torah. When you deal with Shriot Torah, though, if you make a mistake, you're going to end up in a violation of an Isur Torah. So there we say you can't move it back and forth. Over here, you're dealing with a Shri Yachid and a Carmelite. Carmelite is only an issue midrabanan. Because of that, we allow you to do this station of going through the Makom Patur and down into the Carmelite, because those are only Hakha Rishriot Torabanan. We're only dealing with Rishriot Torabanan, and that's why we permit you to do it over here. Now, that's an interesting solution to the problem, but we still have the machloket in the braita. The braita says that the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel argue about whether it's 3 or 4 tefachim. So now all you've done is exchange the problem of Rav Dimi's statement being a machloket tanaim as to the size of a carmelite, now to about being what the size of a makom patur is. And basically, they are the mirror image of each other. if you reach the Carmelite, it's no longer Makom Patur. If you haven't reached the Carmelite, you are Makom Patur. How do we solve the problem here? Because you have two memorot from Rav Dimi. One that says that up to four tvachim is considered to be a Makom Patur. Above that is a Carmelite. And then we have this second memorot that says that if it's less than 4x4, it is a Makom Patur. Now, in addition to that, he said you're not allowed to exchange or stage something through the Makom Patur. But he did say that it's called a Makom Patur in less than 4x4 tvachim. So Rashi asks this question, and he says, V'afagav d'choshiv Rav Dimi Makom Patur pachot mi'arba'a. Even though here Rav Dimi is clear that he thinks the Makom Patur is less than 4, and that's not like the Chachamim. V'achi gamrei Rabbanan shlosh lavi Makom Patur. And the Chachamim say that under 3 is a Makom Patur, 3 is not. We're not going to say that this latter statement of Dimi is a machlokia tanaim. It has to do with where it's placed. When you're dealing with Torah rishuyot, then you have to gain a greater significance to separate yourself away. So Rav Dimi's statement is made when we're talking about a rishut yachid min haTorah and rishut rabim min haTorah. In order for that area to gain independence from them, to be a Makom Patur, you'll have to reach 4 tefachim. Until that point, it's considered to be a Makom Patur. Over here, v'legabei Karmelit, when we're dealing with the Rishut Derabanan, in order to gain independence from it, it's much easier. The threshold is lower, and therefore you only require 3 tefachim. So what Rashi in the end says is that this statement of Rav Dimi about a Makom Patur being up to 4x4 tefachim is talking about in the context of a Shiyot Deoraita. The machloket here between Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and the Chachamim, as to the size of Makom Patur, is only in the context of a Shiyot Dirabanan, like a Carmelite over here. How high is the threshold to gain independence from it? The Chachamim set it at 3, and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel sets it at 4. And what about the fact that you're not allowed to move or stage through a Makom Patur? That was only said by Rav Dimi with issues Deoraita, moving from Rishut Yachid to Rishut Rabim or vice versa. But in our case, where you're moving from Rishut Yachid to a Carmelite, which is only Shiyot Dirabanan, over there we say fine. Now, it happens to be, as Tosafot points out, that we have Rav earlier in the Masechta saying just the opposite, that we're more machmir by Rishiyot Rabbanan because Asu Chizuk LeDivrehem, which they didn't need by Doraita. And we also have later on in the Masechta a statement that Rav Dimi believes it's even true by Rishiyot Rabbanan, and nothing is mutar. Nevertheless, over here the Gemara is willing to entertain this possibility, and Tosafot tries to reconcile this with the position later on in the Masechta. But then the Gemara says, is that really true? Rabbi Yochanan b'shiyot Rabbanan nami amar. Rabbi Yochanan himself says this din even by b'shiyot Rabbanan. The Tanan. We have a Mishnah. Kol tov sheben bet chatzerot. We have a wall that sits between two courtyards. Gevua yud tefachim. It's 10 tefachim high. Ferochav arba'a. And 4 tefachim wide. Marvim shnayim v'marvim echad. That's considered to be a full-fledged mechitza. And the two chatzerot have to make an eruv separately. They cannot join together. Hayu b'rosho perot. If there are fruits on top of this wall, then either party can climb up and eat the fruits on the top of this wall. The top of the wall is significant because it has more than 4 tefachim wide. So it's classified as a reshut bifnei atzmo. Since it's a reshut bifnei atzmo, you can go up there, eat the fruits up there, and fine. But what you can't do is take the fruits down to either one of the chatzerot, but you can do whatever you want on top of the wall. Nifratz hakol tala eser amot. If the wall has a breach in it, up to 10 amot, Marvin Shnaim, then they can continue to make separate Eruvin. Vimratsu Marvim Echad. If they choose, or they so choose, they can do it together, because that breach in the wall is considered to be a doorway, a petach. Petach is up until 10 amot. So they make a decision. We've seen before that a petach makes it either kemechitza, or that it makes it as if it's joined. So therefore, this petach says, I have a choice. I can keep them separate, or I can put them together, whatever I want. Mipnei shuku petach. Yoter mikan. If it's more than 10 amot, then you don't have a mechitza between them anymore. Marvin echad main marvin shnayim. Then you have to make it into one eruv for the two chatzerot, because there is no divider between them. Vavinen bo. And we asked about this mishnah earlier on. Ein bo arba'a. What happens if the top of the wall does not have 4 tvachim wide on it? My, what's the din? Instead of it being reshut yachid, it's a makom p'tur. Now, where it's a makom p'tur, what is the status of the top of this wall? Amar Rav, Avir Bet Rishiyot Sholetet Bo. Rav says, Asur, because both Chatzerot have rights to it. It's Batel Degabe Shteya Chatzerot. And because of that, it's an area which has dual ownership or dual rights. And that means that it's Asur until they make an Eruv between them. V'lo Yaziz Bo M'lo Nima. And therefore you can't move it even a hair's breadth. You can't do anything up there because it's a place that has rights from two parties. Yochanan Amar, Elu Malim Mikan Vochlim, Ve'Elu Malim Mikan Vochlim. You can bring whatever you want from your chatzer up to the top, eat it there and enjoy it. And the other chatzer can do the same thing and bring it up to the top and enjoy it. It's a makom patur. Ve'azda Rabbi Yochanan l'tamei, and this is Rabbi Yochanan l'shitato, because he says that a makom patur can be utilized by anything that is adjacent to it, which is the chiyatur of Dima Rabbi Yochanan, makom shein bo arba al arba'a. If you have an area that's less than 4x4 tefachim, mutar l'vnei v'shut arbim l'vnei v'shut yachid l'ketef alav. They, both parties, both the Rishut Yachid that's adjacent to it and the Rishut Rabim that's adjacent to it, can utilize it. As long as they don't exchange it. Now, when we say that, we're comparing it to a case where there's a wall between the Chatzerot. The two Chatzerot, and requiring an area of Chatzerot, it's all a Din D'Rabbanan. We're dealing with two areas that are Rishuyot Yachid Midoraito. The only problem here is a Din D'Rabbanan. And yet, they're comparing this to Rabbi Yochanan's statement by the Rishut Rabim and Rishut Yachid. So you see from this that Rabbi Yochanan applies his Din about Makom Tur even by Rishuyot Rabbanan. And therefore, it should also mean that you're not allowed to exchange, you're not allowed to pass or stage things through a Makom Patur, even when you're dealing with Rishuyot Rabbanan. Where it says, Ha'u Ze'iri Amra. That statement over there was made by Ze'iri. Over here, it's Rav Dimi. Rav Dimi does not believe that Ze'iri is right in comparing it. Rav Dimi believes it only applies to Doraita. Staging through a Makom Patur is a problem. Dine Rabbanan, it's fine. Ze'iri says it applies equally to Dine Rabbanan. So now the Gemara says, Ule Ze'iri Kasho. For Ze'iri, it's a problem now. How is he going to explain, not Rav Dimi, he doesn't have to agree with Rav Dimi, but how does he explain the Braita now, the argument between the Rabban and Rav Shimon Gamliel? Ha, Ze'iri, mugim laba amat maim gufa. Ze'iri doesn't have a problem. He can say that it's the machloket is about the amat maim itself, whether it is or not a karmelit. They have a machloket. What is a karmelit? 3 tzvachim or 4 tzvachim? Ah, Rav Dimi said before that it is 4 tzvachim. Ze'iri will say, that's right. Rav Dimi took a position that is a machloket tanaim. I think that Rav Dimi, when he made a statement, is a machloket tanaim. Not like we suggested before in the Gemara that it's divrei hakol, and it's not a machloket tanaim. Rav Dimi tanaihi, and ein ochanami, Rav Dimi is a machloket tanaim. The Gemara now asks another question. B'tehavi ki chorei karmelit. Why isn't the water channel here like a chorei karmelit? Now, the way we've established it or explained it, according to Rav Dimi, that the amat amayim going through the chatzer does not meet the requisite measurements to be a karmelit, why don't we say that it's chorei karmelit? Chorei karmelit means that there are holes that are adjacent to an area. For instance, in Rishut Rabim, you have a wall that has holes in it. If the Bnei Rishut Rabim utilize those holes, it's as if it's an extension of Rishut Rabim. And the same on the other side of the wall. If the people in Rishut Yachid utilize the holes in the wall, those areas, those choreim, become chorei Rishut Yachid, and they're like Rishut Yachid. So why don't we say the same thing here by a karmelit? As Rashi explains, the water channel from outside the city clearly meets the requisite measurements for being a karmelit. It's only once it entered the city that it narrows down, or entered this chaser, that it narrows down to be smaller than a karmelit. So now, since it's an extension of the original karmelit, then it should be classified as a chorei karmelit or a karmelit, even though it doesn't meet the requisite measurements. So Abaye bar Avin, Rav China bar Avin, Damri Tarvayu, they both say, ein chorim le karmelit. There is no such concept of chorim le karmelit. Shudei rachid, rishud rabim, those are rishuyot deoraita. Therefore, they also have chorim. They have these extensions from them. Karmelit is a Rishut Rabbanan. The Rabbanan, when there goes there about Karmelit, did not also impose this idea that if you have a hole or an extension from a Karmelit, it takes on the properties of the Karmelit. That's one answer. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu teima yesh chorim the Karmelit. Even if you think that there are chorim the Karmelit, hanim yelismucha. That's only if they're close by. Like in the case of the wall, we have holes in them. They're adjacent to the Rishut Yachid, adjacent to the Rishut Rabim. Then they have the classification of the Rishut that is next to them. Over here, the channel could have narrowed a long time ago, before it ever entered the Chatzer. Yes, it's a Karmelit when it's intercity, but once it enters into the city, then already it narrowed. And by the time it gets to this Chatzer, it's been narrowed for a while. So you're not going to classify this as Chorei Karmelit. It's too far away from the original area that's considered a Karmelit. Now we have a third attempt at an answer here, which is Ravina. Till now we had two answers. One is the answer of Rav Dimi. Dimi says the machloket in that braita between Rav Shimon Gamliel and Chachamim revolves around the bank of the Amat HaMayim as to how wide the bank has to be in order for it to be considered a makom patur, and therefore you can stage the bucket through that in order to bring it from the house to the Amat HaMayim and back. Rav Ze'iri said, no, their machloket is about the Amat HaMayim itself. The Amat HaMayim, is it classified as a karmelit or not? Their argument is about what is the threshold for karmelit. Is it 3 tvachim or 4 tvachim? Now we have Ravina suggest that their machloket revolves around a third item, something that I mentioned when we first saw this in the Braita, which is, we know this machloket of Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim from somewhere else, which is, they argue about lavud. And that's the case here. Gagon David le nifke apuma. He made for them little barriers at the entranceway. So he put on either side of the banks in the channel, the water channel, he made a mechitza on the right side and on the left side, and he left the middle open so that the water can flow through. There's a gap in the middle. How wide can that gap be and have these boards on the right and left be classified as a mechitza? That's a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon ben Leil and the Rabbanon. And that's what Avina says now, as the Rabbanon letamayu, that they think that lovud is less than 3 tvachim. But Rabbi Shimon ben Leil letamayu, who thinks that lovud is less than 4 tvachim. And their machlokes is, how big can the gap be between the two boards on the side of the banks of the water channel at the entrance and the exit, in order for it to still be classified as a mechitza? Chachamim say lovud, less than 3 tvachim. Rabbi Shimon ben Leil says lovud, less than 4 tvachim. Okay, now the next Mishnah says, Gezustra shilamala minamayim. You have a balcony of some sort that sits above the water. Ein mimalina menu bishabbat. One cannot fill water from the water body that is down below on Shabbat. The water body is a garmelit. The Gezustra, the balcony, is a reshut yachid. We know this already because we've seen it so many times, but this is the Mishnah that tells us this information. Ela im kein, sulam mechitza gboa asarat tvachim. Unless you make a mechitza around the hole that is 4x4 tvachim, it has to be a minimum of 4x4 tvachim to be classified as reshut bifnei atzmo. And then you have to either drop mechitza ben milamalo, or you have to build mechitza above that hole, or ben milamato, or you have to drop mechitza below that hole. Either way, that will grant you the right then to draw water from below. That's the dispensation that we had before, that kal sheyigilu b'mayim, that these suspended mechitzot around a hole that's 4x4 allow you to draw water from a karmelit or the river below into the reshut yachid on your gezustra. V'chein shtei gezustarot, this was quoted earlier in the Gemara, you have two balconies, zu l'mala mizu, one above the other. Again, we explained over there, that doesn't mean literally in the same line, one above the other. They can even be offset from each other. One is higher than the other, but not necessarily directly above it. Again, we said there, it's a sukkah mirpeset, sukkah that has clearance to the sky above, but one is higher than the other. Then, asul el yonah, they made one of these mechitzot jointly. They made this mechitza for the upper balcony, and therefore the upper balcony and the lower balcony fill their buckets on Shabbat from the upper balcony where they built the mechitza. Below asul etachtona, and they didn't make such a mechitza for the lower balcony. Shtehen asurot, they both may not utilize that upper balcony to fill water on Shabbat, ad shiravu, until they make an eruv, chetzerot, between them, that grants them the right to utilize it. Otherwise, you have rights from one balcony to another balcony, and that means multiple people or multiple rights are now coming together, and you need an Erev Chatzirot to be matir that. Otherwise, we say no, because then it looks like a Reshut Rabim, and people mix up that you can move from Reshut Yachid into an area that has multiple rights. Mara says now, Matnitin Delokin Chananya ben Akavio. Our Mishnah is not like Chananya ben Akavio we saw yesterday. In yesterday's daf, we saw that Chananya ben Akavio says that even if the Gzustra, even if the balcony is totally flat, you may look at it as if you fold it and make it into a mechitza. Our Mishnah says that you must make the mechitza. It's not good enough that you fold it down. You actually have to make the mechitza. The Tanya. We had the Braita yesterday. Chananya ben Akavio Omer, Gzustra sheish ba dalar dalar amot. A Gzustra that has 4x4 amot, which is 24x24 tvachim. Chokek ba dalar dalar. Then you cut out a hole in the middle that is 4x4 tvachim. Umimale. And then you can utilize it. You don't have to actually make the mechitzot up and down. Our Mishnah says you do. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavio says you don't. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, I'm Mishnah Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. So we have a qualification of that, and we saw that again in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yochanan believes that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya's heter was only said about the Kinneret, about Yamashel Tveria. It doesn't have broad application. The questioner, or the first opinion, says that our Mishnah stocks Stam, and our Mishnah even seems to be speaking about Yamashel Tveria, and therefore maybe Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya can't be off the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says that he only said about this unique, Hoveishla Ognaim, because it has embankments around it, V'ayarot, and cities, V'kapifot, and enclosed yards, Mikifototah, that surround it, meaning that it has 10 tvachim, almost a mechitza all the way around it, and as we spoke yesterday, that makes it into a Rabbanan light, Carmelite, and that's where Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya gave his dispensation. Aval b'shar meimot lo, but in other waters, he doesn't necessarily say that. So it's possible that we could reconcile Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya with our Mishnah, or you can say that our Mishnah is still problematic for him because our Mishnah doesn't make such a distinction, and it seems that our Mishnah would apply even to Yamashel Tveria. Now, Tan Rabbanan, Gimel Dvarim Hitir Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Lanshei Tveria. There were three things that Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya allowed the people of Tveria to do. One of them was, Memalim Mayim Beguzustra Bishabbat. They were allowed to fill off of these flat platforms that had a cutout of 4x4 tfachim in the middle, and they themselves were 4x4 amot. He allowed them to fill from it on Shabbat, from Yamashel Tveria, from the Kinneret. That we already saw. V'tomnim be'etzah, and he allowed them to bury their fruit inside of this solet shel kitniyot, that is, the leftovers, the residual of the legumes. They used those to store the fruits inside of them. He allowed them to do that. U'mistabkim balontit, and he allowed them to dry with a towel. So now, the Gemara goes through each one of them. Emalei mayim beguzus terabi Shabbat, that they can fill up the water through a platform, a flat platform on Shabbat. Hadamran, we already explained that. V'tomnim be'etzah mahi. The fact that they can bury their fruit or put their fruit into this etzah, what's the case here? D'tanya, we have a braita. Hishkim lavi psolet. He gets up early in the morning to bring in this residual of the kitnit, his leftovers, to use it as a bedding to put the fruit into. Then, im bishvil sheish leftal, why did he get up early in the morning? There are two reasons why one would get up early in the morning. One possibility is, so when he gets up early in the morning, then there's still dew on top of these materials. So when he brings them in, he gets the benefit of the materials plus the dew. Then if that's the case, harihu b'chiyutan. This has to do with a concept called hechsher l'kabel tuma. In order for ochel to be able to accept tuma, it has to be mukshar l'kabel tuma. It has to be prepared in order to accept tuma. That preparation happens by having a liquid run over the ochel. That liquid would be one of the seven liquids that are designated in the Torah. That liquid has to be put on there willingly. Now, willingly means one of two ways. Either you do it actively, or even if it happens by itself, but you want it to happen, that's enough. So over here, if you get up early in the morning and you take the psolet in order to have the towel to have the dew on it, and then you bury the fruit on it, that dew, when it touches the fruit, is makshir them the kabel tuma, because that's a liquid that you want, and you intentionally brought the psolet early in the morning because you wanted the towel there. So you want that liquid, and that's why you went out early in the morning, and that is makshir these items to mekabel tuma. Im bishvil shleiva tel mimlachto, if the reason he got up early in the morning is because he had to go to work. And if he doesn't get up early in the morning, he can't do this. So he gets up early, so he can take care of this, and then go off to work. Einim b'chiyutan. Then it's not considered to be that you have washed these fruits actively or with your acquiescence, because the only reason the towel's on there is because of the time period that you picked them up. You couldn't care less whether there is towel or not towel on there. It just happens to be you got up early and there is towel. Had there not been towel, you would have been equally as happy. You got up early in the morning because you need to get to work afterwards. And in that case, it's not mukshar l'kabel tuma. Then Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya says, V'stam anshei Tveria, k'mi shelo ibatel mimlachto dami. If we don't know, somebody from Tveria we assume is going out early in the morning because they don't want to miss work. Because the people in Tveria were Bali Malacha, they were people who went to work every day. And because of that, you can assume the reason they got up early in the morning was because they didn't want to miss work and not to get the towel to get the dew. U'mistabgim be'alontit. And one is allowed to use a towel on Shabbat. Mahi. What is that din that he allowed? Tatanya, mistabeg adam be'alontit. First you can use a towel to dry themselves off after they wake up a bath on Shabbat. U'menicha be'chalom. But then you have to leave it in the window. V'lo yimseren lo l'rayin. He cannot then give it over to the bathhouse keeper. Mipnei shechashudim. Todavar. Because they're suspected of wringing those towels out on Shabbat, performing schita, doing melacha on Shabbat, in order to dry the towels out, to reuse them. For whatever reason, they were not trustworthy with regards to melachat Shabbat. So you can't give it to them. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afen yivya biyadol l'toch beito. You can even bring it home with you. And when you bring it home, we don't worry about the fact that you might forget that you're carrying this wet towel and you're going to squeeze it out. And that's also what he paskin for them. That he paskin like Rabbi Shimon and told them that they can bring their towels after they've bathed back to their houses and they don't have to worry about the fact that they're going to be sochet those towels. Amar Rabba Baruhuna, lo shanu elo lamalot, aval lishpoch asur. The heter in our Mishnah, this is something we discussed in the Tosafot yesterday, but that heter in our Mishnah to draw water through the balcony that has this suspended mechitza is only for that, to draw water. Lishpoch, to dump your sewage or your used water out, that you may not do through this hole. That heter only applies for bringing water in, not for sending water out. Where it says, Matkif lo, Rav Shizvi challenged that statement of Rabba Bar Rav Huna. V'chima ben zeh l'uka. What's the difference between this and an uka? Uka is something that in the Gemara and Shabbat we discuss. A person may not pour water into his chatzer if the chatzer is less than 4x4, because we know then the water is just going to run out to the Rishut Rabim. So it's the equivalent of pouring your water from the Shut Yachid then and have it flow out into the Rishut Rabim. Unless you dig a ditch inside of the chatzer, and that ditch is at least holds Beit Satayim. It holds that much in it. So if it can hold a ton of liquid in it, then you can pour it into there. On Shabbat, we don't worry about it because the water is going to stay in the ditch and not go out to the Shut Rabim. But then the Gemara there says, even if it's full, Even if this ukad, this ditch, is filled with water to the top, you can still pour out your sewage or used water into the ditch, knowing that it then will flow out to the Rishut HaRabim. So that's what Rosh Yisi says. How's this different? How come over there in Shabbat you're allowed to pour into the chatzer, knowing that then it will flow out to Rishut HaRabim? And over here you're not letting the person dump their water back out through this mechitza tuluyah. So when it says, hani taime, hani lo taime, there's a difference. Over there, the reason that we allow you to pour into this ditch that's already full is because your intent is that the water that's in the ditch will be absorbed into the ground. You don't assume that you're going to fill it up and then it's going to overflow and then flow out. That's not your intention. Your intention is you have the deep ditch and you keep filling it with water because it will be absorbed into the ground below. And as it's absorbed, then you can put more and more in there. And when you pour it, when it's full, your assumption is that it's going to be absorbed. You don't really intend for it to flow out. Avahani lo taime. Over here, by our case, the water never ends. Meaning that the water that's flowing underneath you in the river, that's a water that's a constant flow and can take the sewage away anytime. There's no sense that you can dump it in there and it's going to be absorbed. It's going in there and it's going to be carried off. And that's what the problem is. So when you pour out the sewage water through the mechitzat luyah over the river, we know for sure it's going to be carried away. And then when you pour it into the uka, into this ditch, then we allow you to do it because it's not certain that it's going to flow out. It might, in this case, flow out because it's full, but your intention is really to have it be absorbed in the ground below it. Ikadamre. There are some that say, don't say that our mission means only for drawing water is it mutar. Lishpoch asur, but for dumping sewage is asur. El lishpoch nami shari. Even to dump sewage out, it's mutar through this mechitzat uliyah. As we saw yesterday in Tosafot, we passed in that way because it's a din d'rabbanan, and we go the hakel between the two lishonot. So we're going to paskin that you can utilize this mechitzat luyah over the river, both for drawing water and for dumping out the sewage. Amar Rav Shizvi, pshita. Why do you need this halacha? This is pshita. We can learn it out from Hainu Uka. We can learn it out from that din of Uka in Shabbat, which says that you can pour water into your yard, even when the Uka, the ditch is full, and it flows out to Shir Rabim. How's this different? Ma'udutema, I would have thought, hani taime, hani lo taime. I would have thought, like the answer we gave in the previous Lashon, that maybe there's a distinction between the Uga and the river. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that. That's what the Chiddush of Rabbi Rahuna is we don't make that distinction. That's why you're allowed to pour the sewage water out through this Mechitza Tluya. Because we don't say that your intent by the Uga is to have it absorbed in the ground. And over here, that's not your intent. We don't make such a distinction. You're always allowed to dump your sewage water out. Tosafot mentions in two places over here that the Gemara before told us about a Sfina, a boat. And in the case of a boat, you're allowed to draw water from the river that you're in by just putting out a ziz, just putting out a small projection, and then you can take the bucket, drop it down from there, and draw water out of the river. And in addition, over here, if you didn't have an ability to have a ziz or a place to put the sewage water, you can pour it on the side of the boat, and then it flows down into the water below. So Tosfot asks, I don't understand. By Sfina, we have halachot. You have a carmelite of water below it, and you're allowed to, number one, draw water from it into the Rishut Yachid of the boat by just putting out a ziz, and you can dump the sewage by simply putting on the walls of the boat and letting it flow down, because ain't koach b'carmelite. We don't say that we apply koach, where your action then leads to, or gives power to something to go out into a carmelite. We don't worry about that. How come we don't apply those principles over here? Here where we have to build a whole mechitza around a 4x4 tvachim opening to draw the water, not just the ziz. And with pouring out the sewage, we said over here, you still need that same construction. You can't just pour it out on the side wall of the house and let it flow down into the river. Why are these different? So Tosafot says with regard to the sewage, the difference is that by the boat, we know for sure when you pour it on the side of the boat, it's going to fall into a carmelite because you're in the middle of a waterbed. You're in the river. And because of that, we allow you to do that because it's ain koach b'carmelite. Over here by the house, we don't let you do that because sometimes the river flows straight to an area that's Rishut HaRabim. As soon as you pour it in, it goes to a rakak, a little puddle, or a small area that's part of the Rishut HaRabim. And then your water is going to end up, you're going to have koach to a Rishut HaRabim, which is problematic. And that's why we don't allow you to pour the sewage out that way. In terms of drawing the water, Tosafot makes a number of possibilities of distinctions here. One is about the depth. By the boat, the water is at least 10 tefachim deep, and we measure a carmelite from the base, from the floor of the river. Therefore, above that point, it's not a carmelite. And that's why you only need a ziz to draw. Over here, the water is less than 10 tefachim from the base of the river, and that's why you have to worry about this. And then he gives other distinctions, that even if they are both 10 tefachim deep, that by the house, the river goes there, a case where it is 10 tefachim deep, or to a case where it's not 10 tefachim deep. By boat, we don't worry about that, because a stam boat or a regular boat is in water that is 10 tefachim deep. Or, the other possibility is, where the boats go, the water is always deep, but by the banks, or where the people have their houses, we have the chashash, maybe shamei alei hayam sirton. Maybe the sediment will build up and then bring it down below 10 tefachim. So what are the possibilities of distinguishing are, Tosafot says that the din by the boat is different or distinct from this din by the houses. Okay, we'll stop over here.